Blog Talk Radio.
Back on in just a second. He had to redo his phone. So I'll just play one more song while we're waiting. When he gets on, I'll just cut it right out.
Ow!
And here we go. I'm Lonnie.
I'm Ken.
I'm Jerry.
I'm James.
Jolene.
And I'm Bill. Welcome to Hoot and Holler. Tonight, we're going to talk about God, family, and friends. Take over, my brother.
Well, we've had a very trying week this week. With Bill having his stroke and stuff, and God has just blessed us. Because most people, you know, when they have their stroke, they can't walk. You know, they can't function. Now, there are some cases, well, God has blessed Bill that, you know, he can walk. And we need to all think about that. Before everybody takes off for work in the mornings or everybody goes to bed at night, just look at over at your loved ones and tell them how much you love them, because you never know. I didn't know, and I just left Bill like 9 o'clock that evening. And here it was 5-something in the morning, I was getting called on him having a stroke. You never know when your time is up.
We don't have a promise till tomorrow.
That's right. There's no problem.
But I'm grateful for all the family and friends out there. I'm grateful to my Lord for his help. He had mercy and spared me. But I'm very grateful to all my friends and family out there that have called and prayers that went out and everything else. Bear with me. My voice is a little paralyzed and I'm trying to work things back to order. But the thing is, we take so much for granted.
Amen. Every day.
Every day we do.
We're blessed. It could be the littlest thing.
We're blessed, like the song said, to live in a country where we were born free. To have all the opportunities that we've had and the opportunities that we still have.
And some of them people don't have a chance to get their soul right either.
That's another thing. Like I said, I'm very grateful. I don't know how long I'll be going through therapy and things, but I have to tell you this. I'm not afraid of going to be with my Lord. Not at all.
And the Lord's not afraid to have you, Bill. You got other things to do.
People, it's just time to step up and stand up for our God, our country,
our friends
and family.
I don't know if anybody else notices that.
Are we going to let ISIS take us over?
Christians are coming together, and I'm noticing a lot more of younger generation getting saved right now.
Church is starting to pick up.
I've heard talk of just the greatest people on earth, the most humble, the most nicest, the most holiest, getting taken. A reason. I think God's built his army. I think we in the book of Revelation and right now is some defining times for a lot of people. I think it's up to us to let them know.
We're not haters. We're just tired of Christianity being stomped all over.
I think.
And our freedoms and our rights. Just because they're few little minority. I mean, come on.
Situation I'm in, I don't look to last long, but I'm going to find every friend and family member and neighbor I've got, and I'm going to tell every one of them how much I love them before I go. If I could put my arms around Yo and Linda and all the Patriot family right now, the tears would flow out of my face, but I love every one of you. You've been a blessing to me. You're a blessing to this nation.
Yeah, because this nation would be, being honest, to all Tea Party people, all of them, not just our little group, all of them. If it wasn't for us, them corrupt government people, they would have done this over. The moral crap would just be poorer now, more than what it is now.
Right, when elected officials, especially the ones we have in our Congress, set up to stand up there and try to talk about immorality.
Yeah.
They are the epitome of it.
Yeah, they need to step back and look at
their only concerns is to pad their own pockets with wealth and power. That's it.
I was always told, before you worry about anybody else's trash on their porch, worry about your own trash on your own porch. Well, I think these government people, they need to figure this out. Quit trying to take away justice and everything for us and giving rights to all these other people.
That's their fault.
Well, it's not really so much our fault. Our elected have refused to enforce the laws we have. Our elected has aided and abetted the breaking of the laws. But they're not held accountable.
Yeah.
That is the same way, not just in the immigration issue.
No, it's all the way around.
Monetary issues, it's the same way in the IRS scandal, the same. Look what's just coming out about Benghazi.
But the only,
and you're finding out both sides of
bullcrap.
I love how somebody who's sitting here in the United States in an air-conditioned office dropped by 3 p.m.
No.
Knows more about what went on in Benghazi than the people that were actually there on the ground see it. Eyeball see it.
Yeah.
And that's what blows my mind. They were taking, they will take them people's word from way off in the distance. They wasn't there on ground. These people was. And they were actually told to stand down.
Three times we're told not to do anything.
So where did this stand down come from?
Evil, good at what it does.
But you never find out that. Just like Benghazi, just like Fast and the Furious,
they
just like
said it in a nutshell. Evil is good at what it does.
Yes.
You know,
well, God's going to come and smite you people.
I see very few people that I think anything of in the government right now.
There's a few.
There is a few.
But the vast majority are, they're not people.
So the Harry Reid and stuff like that. Nancy Pelosi, there's
John Boehner, Mitch McConnell.
Yeah, we can name and name and name.
The aisle.
Yes, both sides.
What I really like, I'd like for everyone this afternoon and in the morning when they get up, you got someone you haven't talked to in a while, a family member, a friend, call them. Let them know you love them while you have the chance. I know all our members of the Patriot family. Well, none of us are spring chicken. We're still breathing. We got the chance. Let's share that love and that message of love with each other, our family, our friends, our neighbors. Let's walk the walk. Talking the talk's not going to do it. You've got to walk.
You got to. And it's time to do that.
We don't know what's coming. I'll tell you this, folks. I was glad to get out of Indianapolis Hospital and not be stuck there on 9/11.
Oh, yeah.
Because I don't know what's coming.
And you know they're going to attack it.
Something may not even happen.
May not.
But if it does, the last place I want to be is a big city. Across this nation.
Well, look,
I'm going to say
this. A little city.
I'm going to say this. Fires are being set.
Yes.
And they're being set to try to drive people from living in the outside the,
yep,
the beltway, outside of the city conglomerate.
Up
they're trying
their
to
control.
Drive people back into the city, and they're going to use whatever law. They can, whatever lie or bull crap. We have the EPA. I see all these people the other day, they're out walking for minimum wage. And they're not even smart enough to look at the new taxes that are coming before Obama leaves office.
Oh.
And health care, milk's at the highest price it's ever been.
But what can we do about it?
You've got to wise up. You've got to quit electing people that have been sitting there for 15 years.
But how about this? Our votes don't really count.
No, they don't.
Because they're going to screw us anyway, some way or form. I don't know how.
That's where you start.
But if the American people, everybody dreams out.
You've got to go to the people you love. Reach out with your heart. Reach out to those you love, your family, your friends, your neighbors. Let them know you love them.
Yep.
Let them know why you're telling them. You're telling them because you don't know if you're going to have a chance to tell them tomorrow.
Yeah, but you never know. You don't know what tomorrow's going to bring.
The hardest
matter of fact, you don't know what the next second's going to bring.
Is being there with my wife, my youngest daughter, my oldest son. and seeing the pain in their faces thinking they're losing me. And I don't know how to convey to them, don't be sorry. Don't be sad. I've been waiting on this day all my life. The day I get to be with my Lord, the day I get to put my arms back around my dad's neck, my grandpa's, my grandmother's, my family, my friends, my neighbors that have gone on before me, I'm going to be with all of them again. It's going to be a happy time.
That'd be a happy time. But
so I'm not remorseful about things. Yes, I hurt. And yes, I don't know how to tell you, but I'm just totally out of whack and balance. Can't hardly walk in a straight line.
He needs a little bit of relaxation. And then a little bit of therapy. That's what Bill needs.
I have people telling me.
And that's what he's going
to
do.
You need to quit what you're doing, Bill. It's stressing you. That's what's causing all this.
No, you're going to back until you get a little bit more control.
And my answer was this. If you love something, your family, your friends, your country, your God, then when you got the chance, I don't care how bad a shape you're in, you better keep pushing. Push it with all you got. Who you're wanting to assist. I don't look to assist Allah or none of his people.
Oh, no.
I don't look to assist.
Jesus Christ, Lord or Savior.
I don't look to assist atheists. Everybody's got to work out their own salvation.
That's right.
I understand atheists. Well, we can deny Christianity, and we can deny our own sins, and we're no longer sinners.
But Muslims, that decapitate people? Because
I won't say that, but the drug cartels that decapitate
people. Yeah, well, that is terrible, too. So, I mean, I'm not saying anything that they're not doing. That's not wrong.
We got people leaving our country to go join these terrorists.
Yes. Just like that one boy, what was it? I can't remember his name.
Two or three men killed. There was an 18-year-old girl got caught. She was trying to join.
And just think, at the same time, Obama lets the five top Muslim people go.
That he had top five top. Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Now one was a top beheader.
Yeah.
He loved beheading everybody.
And he just one for five. And it was a traitor?
I don't understand. This is what I don't understand.
The racist people are pulling in oil money
on the
black market at the rate that they're building. While we set, each day we set, let's then get stronger. I don't know anybody in the world who would sit there with a dire enemy that wants to destroy them and wait till they get stronger to fight them. You take them out when they're down.
No, they're actually giving them guns.
Stronger than you.
They're helping them get strong.
There's another thought there, people. You know, you talk about your Muslim extremists, your radicalists. Not all of them feel the same way. They don't believe in the jihad or feel that it's necessary.
That's actually true.
That is true.
But I don't see the mass means of them trying to stop those radicalists or extremists. They let them do their thing.
Do that do try
and,
to stand up and speak out are ostracized
right.
by the rest.
Now, when this regime gets more power than it has, and everybody's even more afraid, those Muslims that were neutral will now be following their ranks because they have to. So, now, I don't see Muslim Islam working in the United States at all, any way, any form, any fashion.
Well, you got a problem here in the state of Minnesota. It was talked about when they started bringing these Somali refugees here. Nobody would see it because almost every one of these people that are joining ISIS from here are doing it through Minnesota, probably Keith Ellis District, the Muslim Congress.
Well, there's ISIS in Columbus, Indiana.
ISIS is in this country. They can act like they're not.
They can act like they ain't. Like my mom told me. And my mom is totally blind on this besides what I tell her. And what I, you know what I'm saying, proved to her. But she was telling me, well, there's like three ISIS groups already supposed to be here, and one's supposed to be in Columbus. I can't remember where the two other ones were, big city.
Indianapolis.
Yep.
Or Wayne.
And, I mean, that's ridiculous.
By trying to teach DC and trying to appease everybody, you're aiding those who want to destroy everybody. But again, I'm right back to it. If you don't believe me, file some FOI, Freedom of Information Act, and find out
yep.
how many of you are elected have made investments while in office, what they invested in, and what role they had in determining if that investment can be a success or not. And you're going to find out insider trading. And,
Yes, Lonnie. Thank you. I've got a message for you, Bill. You're blessed. Wait a minute. Hold on here. This is from Ron. Rod, I'm sorry. Okay, Bill, you made your appearance to make us feel better and to stop worrying. Now it's time for you to rest and get stop being so excited and go sit on the porch and let the sun set. Watch it set. Relax.
He's going
to. You're up. That's to me in my heart. I'd love to be able to do that, but I can't lay down on my country. I can't do it, people.
You don't have to
lay down on my country, my family, and my friends. I cannot do it. I'll fight this to the end. Because in the end, when I'm gone, I believe when I get to the gate, the Lord will pat me on the shoulder and say, "Job well done, my faithful servant." And I look forward to that. I'm in God's hands. God's going to keep me here until I've accomplished what he wants me to do, as long as I keep looking and trying to follow that path. So I can't give up. I have 15 grandkids. I'll fight tooth and nail to the death for them. And I will do that for every American, because I love my country, I love my countrymen, and I love my God. And I can't find nowhere in the Bible where anybody fights for God. God told them, sit down and rest, take it easy. Never happened. My reward will be in the end, folks. I just hope that somehow, some way, something I say touches somebody, wakes somebody up, makes them look at their lives, and maybe, like I say, tomorrow morning they go out with that message in their heart, let those people they do care about know that they care about them. I appreciate the concerns, Mr. Rod. My friend, you should know me by now. I have no give.
Well, he does have a little bit of give. I got to grant that. Because he is going to, no matter what, he is going to slow down a little bit. Because
welcome,
I'm not
Linda,
ready.
Welcome, Linda, to the show.
Oh,
hello,
hey,
Linda.
Guys.
Hey.
Hello, everybody. It sounds like you got quite a group there, and we're so glad to hear your voice. So take a deep breath and try to take some chill pill for a minute. We'll do the ranting, and I get it, Bill. I know how it's harder for guys to, you know, follow doctor's orders than it is for ladies. I don't know what it is. We're
this
always
time he don't have no choice. You hear me? This time he don't have no choice, because sooner or later he's going to give me a heart attack. I don't want to lose Bill.
Absolutely.
And especially, you know what I'm saying, when you wake up to that, it's a very scary thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I know what to do. Don't get me wrong. I know what to do. But, I mean, I love this guy. He's a good guy. He means well.
Oh, we know that. Yeah.
And
that's why he's
good.
He's got a lot of support.
He's
going
to slow down a little bit. I mean, we can still do the show, but he needs all our comments and getting his heart rate up. Yeah, we're going to work on that, too. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, when the first part of the show and the accolades towards family and saying things like you don't know how much time you have and you have to focus on what's really important, and that's so true. And I understand because, you know, back in the day when the founders were fighting for their freedom, they knew, you know, they loved their families too, but I think they loved them enough to say, I need to do this for posterity because, you know, if not now, when, and if not me, who? So that's where you come from. But I remember the other day, I think it was last week when I was at my sister's house, and she's still like hugely grieving over the loss of Henry. So she says, you won't know what's really important until you lose that person that's so close to you that you can't even hardly breathe. But so hang in there, Bill. and
that,
you know,
that reminded me of a Christian song. Well, I just heard on the radio, and it was talking about all the things was happening, and this guy kept, he would look to heaven, and then the next time he heard something else happen, something bad, you know what I'm saying, about the, like, decapitating and all that, and he yelled out, God, why didn't you do something? And he said, I did. I created you. And
right.
That's what we need.
That's my whole point. I have no problem sacrificing myself if it saves my family, my friends, my neighbors, and my country. That's not a problem in my heart, guys. I served in this nation's military and felt the same way then.
Yep.
I want to spend more time with them. I told my wife before, if I had 1 million years with her, it wouldn't be enough. All night long, I'm sitting there and I keep waking up, and this Johnny Cash song kept popping into my head. You're the nearest thing to heaven. I woke up, got up this morning, I got in here, I got the disc out, I put it in and played it. The tears fell down my face. That's how I feel about my wife. She's the nearest thing to heaven I know. And I'll fight for her and my grandchildren. Yeah, I know if I'm gone, she's going to be alone. She'll have my sons, my daughters, my grandkids, family and friends around her. But I also think she'll know in her heart that I did everything I did out of my heart and out of love.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's...
So the nation have discarded that. You need to look at the serve themselves.
Yes.
That's true.
One of the best things people that you can do in serving yourself is to serve others.
Yeah.
And to serve the Lord. Yeah.
You're blessed.
You will be. It can't end. I mean,
I can't tell you the tears I've cried the last few days. And that's because of the warmth, the love, the compassion that has come at me from all sides and all angles. I'm amazed and I'm surprised because I've been always wondered, am I having any kind of effect? Am I doing any kind of good? And I'm finding out that I more than I know.
That's
I'm finding
right.
those people of mine that had never been in church in their lives are now in church. I've been griping about churches not standing up. And here this last weekend, all I've heard is all these different churches that are starting to speak out about ISIS and the corruption of our government.
I know my mom was proud of it Sunday when she was hearing somebody else tell her what me and you did.
Yeah.
I woke up in the hospital. My younger cousin Jeff was the first case I see. My cousin Jeff survived an amazingly terrible accident. They said, you'll never walk. Never drive. You're done. Jeff never quit. Jeff walks. Jeff drives. Jeff is one of the top people at Microsoft involved with the 911 system here in Indiana. And Jeff goes out of his way for his family and friends. He is an awesome role model. And if you hear this cuz or anyone else hears it, you let him know. He's a hero in my eyes. He's a role model, and I can't say how blessed I've been with him, with Lonnie, with Bob, numerous cousins, Julie, numerous family members, numerous friends that I haven't heard from in ages. Tomorrow I got a friend coming from. He's my oldest, dearest friend. He's been 28 and a half years, I think it was, in the United States Navy. He's now a preacher.
Wow.
I can't put in words how I feel about Terry Roberts. He's one of the most awesome people I've ever known my entire life.
He's a pretty good guy.
And
him and his wife both.
Yeah. And he does without to help others. He takes away from his own stuff to help others. And folks, how many out there are willing to do that anymore? How many is willing to walk over their neighbor's property when they're out? How many is willing to run out there and say, hey, we've been friends a long time. I think I should let you know. I love you, man. I don't know, I went to my mom's house the other day, cut some flowers for another little girl who just lost an eye, and she had three neighbors come and tell her. So there's good neighbors out there.
That's right. That's one of the things I feel like we have here in our area. Neighbors and friends that look out for each other.
Oh, heck, I was around this trailer like three or four times while Bill was gone.
And look, though. Look at how many people have come and responded. Stuff. People that have called it, like I said, I ain't talked to for years. That, folks, leaving a mark. That when people think of you, it puts a smile on their face. I don't remember which ones it was, but I was told this weekend that I was a hero for what I do. No, I'm not. I'm just somebody that cares. It doesn't make me a hero. It makes me someone who puts their heart first. And my heart is in my God, my country, my neighbors, my friends, my family, and my fellow Americans.
And what's that called? A patriot.
Yeah, thank you.
Patriot.
I don't see things heading in a good direction, but I do see a lot more resistance coming out, a lot more waking up and standing up, a lot more speaking out. The people are realizing we're being scammed.
See, there's going to be more people waking up.
They want to keep us griping at the Republicans. Democrats and the Republicans want to keep us griping at the Democrats.
They're both bad.
And the truth is, it's the same crap, just two different piles.
They both smell like
they're
crap.
Both padding their pockets with wealth and power. Regardless of us, we don't matter. And see that out of the elected. Well, then you're not taking a deep enough look. You can look and see more Indiana. Clown County, where wealthy construction can hire illegals and cater to illegals left and right.
Well, we got a
because nobody's going to punish them.
We got a couple
nobody's
going like
to do
that.
Anything to them. But now you find out they have joined into the government in a way, and you find out that a lot of people that are supporting them is because they're invested in a business themselves or in housing themselves that caters to illegals and pads their pocket. Regardless of it's against the law, they don't care about that. In my opinion, every one of them are guilty of aiding and abetting the invasion of the United States. I have no other way to put it. It is an invasion. This is not immigration. It is an invasion. It has been coordinated across both sides of the aisle. One wants the power of the money. One wants the power of the vote. But the truth is, neither one of those two sides want to adhere to the law, uphold the law, and look out for their legal citizens. They think it's okay to take away from the kids of the nation, the legal kids, to give to the illegal kids. An illegal can get in-state tuition where a legal kid can't. Something is wrong there, folks. Something is major wrong there.
Linda, are you still with us?
Am I what?
I was just seeing if you were still with us.
Oh, yeah. I'm just listening to the amazing rant here. You touched on a lot of stuff, and I do think that this open borders policy goes back many, many years, and it's probably way, way beyond even 1992 with the Rio Summit. And it is Agenda 21. It's part of the Cloward and Piven collapse everything, pitting people against us. You're being sold a bill of goods, like Ron said on his show yesterday. You have to stop believing the lies and start standing up for the truth. I was reading a really good book from the David Horowitz Freedom Center on how to debate a liberal, and it was pretty cool. I might quote some of it tomorrow on my show. But, you know, we can only do so much, and probably, you know, we can write letters. We can do whatever we want. We can make phone calls. You know, you're not going to have much effect on the people in D.C. I think they're completely lost. It's ridiculous. But you can do local, and tomorrow I had seen just enough crap in my local newspaper and all the things that are happening with Agenda 21 here. I put a speech together, and tomorrow I'm reading it on my show, and then I'm going to cut my show off early. I'm going down to City Hall, and they're going to hear from me because I've about had it. My hair is on fire.
I don't know if I can survive where you're at, Linda. With all you guys. Oh, wow, I had somebody strangled already. In my eyes, for everything that you do and the way you go out there and go after stuff, you're a hero.
Thanks. Thank you. I just do what I feel is right. Because I have to speak out when I see all this injustice and this BS and propaganda and nonsense. It's infuriating. So they're going to hear from me.
James said, and she camped in my camper first.
Say what?
James said he camped in his camper first.
Exactly. I still thank those guys. That was so amazing. You know, because everybody was kind of stranded. We didn't get into Delaney till I think it was probably the Monday. But anyway, so we're just grateful that you're here, and I just want you to kind of calm down and don't worry about stuff and let us rant. And, you know, you'll hear plenty of it tomorrow. And, again, I will be reading some scripture, and I will be talking about all the things I need to talk about. So, and I got plenty of it.
I do want to take a couple of weeks here and sit back. And I've been trying to find with Chad, because I want Chad and Lonnie and James and anybody else to continue the show. One man doesn't make it, folks. It takes all of us. So
right.
If one of us wants to step back for a little bit, and if Mr. Ron's in the room, I'm sure he understands what I'm saying. Let that person step back, but that's when someone else has to step up. And then when that, you know, you keep doing that. You cover each other. You look out for each other.
Right.
And that's the point I so hard want to make, is our country has quit looking out for our own people. We're looking out for everybody but our own people.
Yeah. Well, that's part of a lot of messages I'm hearing lately, and that is not just from one or two talk show hosts on the national level, but others, that the answers are not going to come from the government. They never will. They're going to come from the heartland and the good people and the American citizens, and that's where it has to start. And the mercy, the love of the Lord, the love of country, your neighbors, friends, and family, these are the commandments. Those are things that are commanded to us. So, you know, this is so important. We have to come up with the solutions. We've always been great innovators. We'll find the way. We just have to look to God first and to our communities, and then we have to start building, because, you know, every time you get the government involved in anything, then it just turns to ratchet in about a heartbeat. Excuse my French.
I wonder how many people out there know what kind of professors are teaching their kids.
Oh, wow. God, they don't. They don't.
Yeah, oh, wow. I mean, that is just one teacher. He needs to be teaching another country. He needs to leave this country. If that's the way he thinks about America and American people, I mean, we're all different kind of people.
That's just one guy out there teaching how...
Yeah, just
America's bad. America's bad. America's bad. U.S. is bad.
Oh yeah.
We're so bad. They're just flocking in from everywhere to get a part of that bad, ain't it?
This is
we're
coming.
Faster, load up his shit left.
Well, man,
you know where that Common Core started? It actually started in Germany way back with good old Adolf, because the model that's using now is the same one that he used back then to indoctrinate the children, and that's where these lovely Fabian socialists who are running things like Gates and Jeb Bush and the rest of these clowns, they're pushing this Common Core. It is so infiltrated in California. It's like I can hardly wait for our meetings to come up here so we can talk to the attorneys, because once the lawsuit's filed and I can find a way out of here, I'm out of here. I can't take it anymore. It's nuts what they're doing. Nuts.
It was Jeff Bush's dad who brought Common Core Agenda 21 into focus.
Oh, sure.
Jeff Bush's brother, the two, Clinton and George W.
Yep.
were both putting in parts of it into place, trying to set it up. Obama was supposed to come in and finalize it. So let's face it. from what I've seen of the president, I'd hate to think what a community he organized was like.
Welcome, Ron. How are you tonight?
Man, this stupid thing, sorry, it keeps popping these flipping ads up in the bottom of my page here. I'm going to rip something apart. You know, it's funny. Well, it's not funny, but interesting listening to, you know, what you guys are talking about and the fact that the government is not going to solve the problem. Man, I can remember talking about this. I can remember talking about this a while back. It's along the same lines as the people that realized that the way to get out of debt is not to borrow more money, right? We can't print our way to prosperity. And the same way, the way to solve the problems that are being created by government is not to have government solve those problems. More
right.
government is not the solution. Less government is the solution. Government is the frickin' problem.
Yep. To quote Reagan.
And Linda, I sent Linda just a little clip of an article that the Federal Reserve Bank is now requiring the largest banks, the ones that have $250 billion or more in assets, to hold government treasuries, which they've always held, and certain corporate bonds, but no longer will they get credit for holding municipal bonds, state or local municipal bonds. Those muni bonds, as they're called, will not count as collateral for the money that the banks are floating.
Good
so
grief.
What that means, banks are traditionally the largest purchasers and holders of local municipal bonds because those municipal bonds are good as gold, basically, you know, because every state that I am aware of and every municipality has a balanced budget. I mean, it's part of their law, so they have to balance their budget. And they, you know, I don't know anybody defaulting on their bonds, but so they're going to make it much more difficult for states to finance their operation.
Good grief.
They're trying to bankrupt the states is what they're doing.
Yeah, well, Jerry Brown's doing a better job of it than these guys, let me tell you. He's on the road.
They're all doing a good job of bankrupting this.
Well,
I think that what Ron's saying is that it's going to be national instead of just California.
Correct.
I mean, and this place is already, like I said, it's not burning. It's already in embers. It's a mess here.
There's a lot of interesting things going on right now. You know, the big import-export bank, its charter is up for renewal. So I've seen there's a movement afoot to, you know, encourage Congress not to renew their charter. It's interesting. I think things are moving at a very rapid pace and from all kinds of angles. It is kind of scary, you know, to see it. I've been talking about it for years and to see it actually unfolding and to watch what's going on in the Ukraine. You know, China's moving troops. You've got Scotland that wants to break from England. The EU is falling apart. France and Germany are going to be at odds, and they're the two biggest players. And, I mean, you know, it's getting serious.
Yeah, it's pretty sad. That's why I sent back when my reply was, we need a bunker. Definitely need a bunker.
That's why I was reading that scripture last night, you know. Don't worry about it. Just sit back and sit on the front porch and watch the world go by. The meek shall inherit the earth because all the other idiots going to run around and shoot each other and kill each other.
That's true. Why take part in it?
Yeah,
yeah,
just
except if they come to my door.
Kill each other.
Yeah, I'm just in a bad area. I'm not in a good place. I mean, I don't know how much choice I'll have as to not participate in the shooting. That's the problem.
I understand.
Yeah, because I'm right. I'm in a big city, so.
I don't think you can name a good place to be.
There's no
talking about this. You know, the NSA and everybody's kicked out. The Tea Parties and people talking about going to the country and hiding out and stuff. They're going to be trying to find everybody.
Yeah.
There's nowhere you're going to hide.
I'm going to have
the backbone. But I'm one of the people that believes, you know, if God stands with me, it don't matter who tries to stand up against
me. Exactly.
That's right. Yep.
I want to give a thanks, be grateful to Methodist Hospital in Indianapolis. First time I ever flown in the helicopter, I didn't have to jump out and slide down the rope. but the staff there was great. They were efficient.
Good.
They were tolerable of someone like me who's a grouch, because I kept telling them every day, well, the last day I was in there, I told him I'm going home tomorrow if I have to call on the interstate.
He's stubborn sometimes, people.
So his wife, when she left the hospital Saturday night, she took his clothes, his shoes, and everything.
Yes, she did.
He wasn't leaving.
She hadn't heard the story about my Uncle James who was at a hospital. They had took his clothes and stuff away. They kicked him off. He was out there walking down the street. His hospital gown, bare butt shining, flying down the road. My other Uncle Bart picked him up, took him home. But he wasn't going back to the hospital. Now, I wasn't out there, but I understand that I did give all the Democrats a chance when I was in the hospital. My butt was bare. If you had a kiss and fall, that was the time.
Oh.
I got to the emergency room at Methodist Hospital when I come around the corner. The staff, anybody walking by, and this is just like on TV emergency rooms, you know. There's my husband, Butt, just a shining through the world.
Yep.
That's too funny. Well, I'm glad you got out of that place, Bill. You know, a lot of folks don't get out of there intact. They do some good stuff there, but that's usually a really bad place to be.
Yeah,
that's
true.
Here in Indianapolis, Methodist is one of the better hospitals there are. But I know
right.
What you mean. Being there, I couldn't wait to get out of there. The doctor that I did see, he didn't know I have an answer. I've got a picture. I'll have to, when I get it back, I'll have to send a copy of it to you. I've had 8 strokes around my brain in a horseshoe shape.
Two.
Most of them was the size of a pencil eraser around.
But his
last one was about the size of a half a dollar.
He's been having them for about a half a year, people.
But the doctor told me he's never seen no
man
have 3 heart attacks, 8 strokes in a 9-month period and still be alive. Be on my knees, thank God, and ask God, what is it I haven't done? Because he can figure out that I'm still here. And I ain't gonna lie to you, folks. I went to my knees. And I've been grateful and thankful the last few days. Maybe the day that someone has contacted me out of love and made me cry. And if you know me, that's just not a guy you're going to see do that. But it has touched me so deep in my heart. And it's made me say, I've got to get around to all these people, let them know I love them before I am gone.
They did say the next one will be a big
one. It would be the big one, they said.
And people, I'm not looking forward to it. Joey, me neither. I mean, yeah, I mean, he wants to be with the Lord. I know that. But it would be a very sad morning. In some sense. To you, yes. And I will be happy after a day or two.
My Lord. And I will get the chance to put my arms around my dad's stepping kid, Dad. And I can't stress how important that is to me.
I understand where you're coming from, Bill. I really do.
I know you, Bill.
And those, you know, those that are left behind, you know, it's tough. We're,
yeah, it is.
You know, those people, you know, we care about you a lot. And it's our selfishness. But, you know.
I want people, when they think of me, to smile and say that was a guy who gave everything he had for his God, his country, his family, and his friends.
Yep. The problem is we're sad because we're still stuck here.
It's not fair. We can get a go.
Exactly. But we don't get to choose that time, so.
No, that's, only one person, only one. We know that, and that's God.
Amen.
Well, that. Because we live in this physical world, and we've, you know, once you're born into it, you know, and we're so tethered to this terra firma. It's hard for us to, other than scripturally and understanding, trying to understand what, you know, God's purpose is. It's hard for us because there is a huge void because we are physical people and we cannot touch you in the physical world anymore, and that's what makes us sad.
And you know,
weird.
The thing for me, and I don't know about anybody else, but once you start to realize and uncover the truth about the world that you live in, and you realize that it's not what you perhaps thought it was all those many years ago, I hate it. I absolutely hate it. I despise it every day. The only thing that keeps me in it is my family.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, if I didn't have any family or friends, I probably wouldn't be here.
Well, you know, it's kind of a double-sided coin, you know, because we do want to love our families and we want to do the right thing and you know, praise the Lord and try to get his message out. So, and we just have to know that it is a very temporary existence here and try to do the best we can and enjoy the beauty that he has placed here for us and then recognize the evil for what it is and try to combat it. I mean, what else?
Yeah. But, you know, sometimes that temporary seems like it sure is a long time.
You're still young. You should be kind of enjoying. You've got grandkids and everything.
Yeah,
you know,
it's like that song, I Wish I Didn't Know Now What I Didn't Know Then.
Yeah. Ignorance is bliss.
Exactly.
Well, but I don't think knowledge is a bad thing. I mean, we're not going to know the answers till we get up there. I don't think we're allowed to know them yet. So that's just my humble opinion.
Oh, I agree with you. Absolutely.
The answer is to do what you know in your heart is right. Trying to follow what was laid out of how we should live and act. And what I say about our family and friends, too many have gone distant from their family. Too many have let their friendships expand and evaporate away. And we don't look out for each other the way we used to.
Nope.
When I was a kid, there was nobody did any crimes in our neighborhood. The neighbors would fight you.
Well, you know, the thing, people don't, there's no principle anymore. You
well,
know, people don't, very few people live by an absolute principle. And that just
yeah.
that bugs me, you know. It's not about this or that. It's about the principle of the matter. And, you know, it's like that song, you got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything.
Right.
And, hell, that's what we have today. It's anything goes, you know. There's no principle to anything.
Well,
very few people will take a principled stance on anything.
And the same argument.
I got to cut out. I have to go wake my wife up to work so she can go do her 12/7. God bless everybody and stay strong and keep praying for Bill here.
We love take care, James.
All right, we'll see you guys.
You know, as a man, I can't hold my grandchild knowing what this government and what's going on in this world where it's headed. I can't hold my grandchild without my temper getting riled up because I know what the SOBs are trying to do to their future.
Right.
And I would love to be able to just sit back and just ignore stuff. But I've never been a guy that can do that. I can ignore for maybe a day. Then I'm going to come back in there. But I told Chad yesterday, get ready, little brother. I'm private. So you're going to be doing the talking. I'll be there, but he's going to be doing the talking. I got Lonnie, a double cousin. Lonnie can jump in here, and him and Chad, James, and whoever else. But I don't want the show to stop waiting on me. The world don't stop and wait on any one person. So I want that to continue. But what I really want, I want people to take a look around them at their neighbors and their friends and their family. And you tell me, who's more important? That guy sitting in D.C. patting his pockets off of your tax money or your family and friends.
I'm sorry, it's your family.
Yep.
That's how we did it.
My dad's been in the hospital for 2 weeks now. No, it's family more than anything else.
Yeah, it's that old saying, blood's thicker than water. And that's a fact.
That's a fact. But your friends become your family, Ross.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, I agree with that.
Look at the name of our group, Patriot Family.
Patriot. Mm-hmm. We're all family. I love you all.
And, you know, I've said it 100 times, if I've said it once, that for the collection of people that have come together, not everybody that's on our website, but there's a core group of people, it's family. Bill, you and your family, Chad and everybody, Linda, Miss Terry, Nick and Yola, Rod, Luke, you know, you guys are family to me. Plain and simple.
Amen. I agree.
Feel the same way.
Oh, amen. Kind of missed your voice, buddy. You've all been a blessing to my life. Every one of you have been a blessing to my life.
And that it goes both ways. Strong, you know, I think we've all blessed each other.
I agree.
I have grown strength off of you. I have gained wisdom from you and knowledge. And I get that support around me from you guys. That's family.
Absolutely.
Yep.
You know, and my buddy Mikey B, I know a lot of you guys haven't met Mike, but, you know, and Hollis and, you know, Chuck and some of the others that aren't always on with us, they're still, it's like a big family.
Yeah, it's a wonderful community, like-minded people. And the core principles, because, and I tell people this in my church and my other meetings, that I said, you know, when you talk on my show, you're talking to a whole bunch of Christians who love the Lord. Let me tell you something. And we don't have any qualms about principle and absolutes and, you know, the commandments. We talk about the Lord a lot, so don't even, you know, not to worry.
He says, you're like no Christian I ever met, Bill.
Yeah.
He said, I know Christians are supposed to turn the other cheek. I said, in certain circumstances, I said, but you seem to forget that when it came down to it, it was David who threw a rock at Goliath and hit him between the eyes. It was Samson who broke the walls down. And he has his people, too. You just call me a King David Christian, because when you punch me or one of my family and friends, I'm going to hit you in the eye with a rock.
Well, I think that he was commanded to do these things by a higher power, but, you know, go with it, Bill.
Well, you know, Christ did tell his apostles to go out and buy swords.
He did. He says, pick up one, and if you need to, pick up two.
Yep.
Yeah, so that's true. And
the old saying is an eye for an eye. That's the way our family is.
Well, that's the way it's supposed to be, you know. But
my family's kind of like that kid movie.
Yep, exactly. It's truly. I mean, it's true. It's, if you mess with one, you got to worry about where the rest of them's coming out of the woodwork.
Yep. Absolutely.
I mean, we counted up at one time, there's over 300 of us. So, I mean, you know, how many woodworks do you want us to come out of?
That's a lot.
Yeah. Better watch your back, son, is all I got to say.
Grandkids and kids. I have a mass amount of first cousins. And here in a few weeks, on October the 11th, with my cousin Julie, I'm going to get together with family and friends, cousins, and I'm going to take the time to go to each and every one of them and tell them that I love them.
Awesome. Good for you, Bill.
That's my birthday wish, be able to do that. And,
I kept remembering what...
I think you're more and more if Americans can start getting up today instead of counting everything that's so small, count the blessings you've got, the
yep.
loved ones in your life, your wife,
yep.
kids, your grandkids, your neighbors, your friends, your cousins, your aunts, your uncles, your grandparents. Folks, every one of us that have family and I can't have what I'm talking about, we're all blessed. Well,
yep.
when you're blessed, you should be appreciative. And the way to show that you are, let them know that bless you, that you love them, that you appreciate them.
Absolutely.
That's where I'm breathing right now.
I think that's why we're here tonight.
I don't care what happened between Ray Rice and his fiancée, wife, whatever, but there's other news out there that is more detrimental to the people of this nation. That news should take priority. And it's not. It's being peddled and hidden in the back pages. And we've done seen our elected have no qualms about coming out, looking us in the eye, and lying straight to us. Oh, ISIS is a JV team. Well, now we're hearing, well, that ain't what he really meant. You know, he wasn't really referring to ISIS. That's what the conversation was about, guys. How stupid does he really think we're that stupid?
Yep.
He went to medieval schools compared to what I do. I did. And I would like to see your grade point average compared to mine, Mr. Obama. Show me that you're that smart, but you can't do it. That's why you keep all your grades and transcripts in, because it'll show you are a mediocre student at best.
Yeah, well, from what I see, his whole life's a lie. I mean, it's just ridiculous. Well, we have a propaganda machine that protects all these clowns. I mean, yeah, the dominant news, of course, is all about this Rice dude, you know, whatever, the stupid video. And it's just actual debating on Hannity's show. I couldn't believe it with libtards. It was just unbelievable.
I don't care what it was. He did not have to punch the lady. He's
no.
a football player. In this way, he's strong. He could have grabbed her and held her. But no,
right.
he decided to knock her out. I don't care who you are. I don't care if he was Michael Jordan. I don't care if he was, well, he punched it like a man. Yeah. But it took so long for any actions to really take place because they were trying to protect their athletes and their paychecks.
Yes.
That's
oh, yeah.
Sad. You see the crowd, 120-some people, stomped 3 people in the ground. Crowd was all black. People stomped in the ground were white. That's not a hate crime. If that had happened in Ferguson, the odds would have been reversed.
Oh, wow.
Al Sharpton, Jensen, these guys would be blowing corks.
Yeah. They'd be screaming racism.
But they hey, where their side does it.
Yeah, or if that had been old Donald Sterling.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they had a good time with him, too, because they were playing. Remember those clips of Sterling when he was talking about, supposedly with this chick that he was, you know, concubining with or whatever. And he says, and then I think he was talking about, was it the basketball player, whoever had the Magic Johnson. He was talking about Magic Johnson. And he says, and then he got those AIDS, and they kept playing that clip. I mean, it was actually funny by the time they got done doing it. But this is what we have to listen to on the radio. It's unbelievable. But
well, I
do
like to ask you about Magic Johnson. I asked him a question. How many championships did Magic Johnson win without Kareem Abdul-Jabbar?
Yeah, Kareem was amazing. That guy was a freaking superhero. For
I don't think
sports.
He won a championship without Kareem.
I wouldn't know.
They pick a guy, he's a star. A team here in Indiana with his name, Peyton Manning. You know, it takes 11 players on offense, 11 players on defense. It's a team sport. No one man does it all. Nobody. Chamberlain didn't do it all. Bill Russell didn't do it all. He won more championships than any of them. To me, that makes him the greatest player. He did it right. He played team ball. He did what it took to help his team win. He wasn't out for Bill to win. He was out for his team to win. We don't have that in our sports world anymore. Everybody's out for the money. Everybody's out for the stardom. Everybody's out for the big checks. Who does it for love?
Yeah, so that's the question, because I was reading some stuff while I was getting my car's oil changed today, which they leased me for $49, and it took them about 20 minutes. So I thought you'd appreciate that, Ron. You should do people's oil changes here in California. You don't have to work that many hours. Oh, my God. I was reading Adam Smith's Wealth of Nations, and when Bill's talking about the sports thing, and then you look at the other industries, whether it's Hollywood or whatever, and we have had these conversations before about corporate fascism, because as long ago as this book has been written by Adam Smith, I mean, it's just, like, so relevant. It's just unbelievable. He touches on the corporate monopolies and NGOs and public-private partnerships, not in those terms, but it's
right.
Well described. And it's like, how much of the sports and entertainment is tied up in this special favors, et cetera?
Right. The problem is it's protectionism.
Oh, my gosh.
Government protectionism, you know, picking winners
like
and losers, whatever you want to call it.
Central
and it goes back to central economic planning.
Yep.
And that is not capitalism.
No, and it's not free markets. Absolutely.
It's called fascism.
Yeah. And he mentioned several times at the end of his paragraph, he said, well, this is the way it would be in a truly free society with real liberty. I'm like, I got to read this on the air tomorrow. Great. Yeah.
And I mean, that's not what we have. And that's,
mm-mm.
You know, and part and parcel of that, you know, I talked a little bit last night about it on the show, and that is when you set out to limit the behavior of your neighbor simply on your own ideology.
Mm-hmm.
You got
or selfishness.
Right. I mean, I understand its principle. You may not like what they're doing, but as long as it doesn't cause you any injury, it's none of your damn business. Leave them alone.
That's why I admired so much Thomas Jefferson, because some of his quotes were that one with the breaking of the arm and stealing from the pocket is exactly what we're talking about. And he,
if
like
it
I
neither
said,
picks my pocket or breaks my bones, I care not what others do.
And that's the way it should be. You know, people mistakenly call him a deist, and I think they're just, you know, far left nut jobs, because he was far from that, I believe. I think he got it.
Well,
I really do.
It's funny, because one of the discussions that I got into with an atheist on one of my boards, one of my forums, you know, he kept saying that Thomas Jefferson was a deist. And I asked him, I used his own tactics against him. I said, do you have any evidence to substantiate your claim, or is that just your opinion? And he came back and he said, you know, 30 seconds on Google would give you all the information you would need. And so I took an excerpt from a letter that Thomas Jefferson had written to a gentleman that they had been corresponding back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
And the gentleman had inquired as to Jefferson's thoughts on Christianity, the New Testament, and that kind of thing. but Jefferson had not been able to respond to him at the time because, well, you know, it was the Constitutional Convention and there was a whole lot of stuff going on. And so he wrote back to him and he told him, you know, I told you that at some point in the future I would have the discussion with you, and I plan to. He said, but let me just say, despite what those who claim otherwise might lead you to believe, you know, those that are saying he was a deist or an atheist, mm-hmm. and he said in his very own words, I am a Christian in the only sense that matters to him, Christ.
Yeah.
And meaning that he believes in him and so on. So I posted that little script, and he chimed back, and he says, well, do you have a citation for that? And I said, well, you know, 30 seconds on Google would render you all the information you would need to know. And then I gave him two other letters, you know, excerpts from two other letters that Jefferson had written. And then the argument became, well, he might have claimed to be Christian, but he wasn't really a Christian. And no church of the day would let him in the doors and blah, blah. I said, you know, you're chasing your butt now there, pal. Your tail. Who gets to decide what the rightness?
Who knows his heart?
Right.
Who knows his heart
but God? So shame on you, you piece of crap. Crawl back under your frickin' rock and tell that story to somebody else. You're spouting garbage and you don't have a clue who the man is. You know nothing about him.
I've never figured out how atheists fight so hard against something they say don't exist.
Well, that's just it. I've asked him that. I said, why do you fight so hard to disprove something that you don't believe?
You don't believe in. Yeah.
But if you don't
answer?
Believe in God, why are you fighting so hard to prove he doesn't exist?
Oh, it's just it's a libtard ideology.
Go ahead.
I'll tell you why. Because they know he exists.
Yeah, they do.
And you know how I know? Because it's in the scripture. It says you're liars, and that's why the scripture says a fool says in his heart, there is no God. God told him.
Yep.
You didn't need a book. You didn't need a church. You didn't need a group. You didn't need the Baptists, the Pentecostals, the Episcopalians, or anybody else to tell you that your Creator exists. His evidence overwhelms you every day.
Yep.
Yes.
Amazing.
I think a lot of the atheist thing is, to excuse their sins, they try, they want to deny that what they do is a sin. So they attack the thing that says they're sinners.
Well, that's because they're listening to the devil.
Hey, it's like the old saying, a lie told often enough becomes the truth. If you can get enough people that are like-minded and think and agree with your statement, well, then you must be right.
Oh, I think Hitler did that already.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't care if it was the whole damn rest of the world telling me, oh, you're crazy. There's no such thing as God. Sorry, guys. You're the ones that are crazy.
Yep, you're allowed to say that.
I absolutely know better.
You bet.
Even in science, because scientists were admitting to Christianity, you know, there had to be a higher power and stuff. They were being attacked when he came up with what they called intelligent design, which was nothing more than to get the atheists off their backs. But it still is, and it's still, intelligent design says there was a superior knowledge, a superior wisdom that built everything, that made everything. There's no way by odds, it is totally impossible by the odds, that everything would have fell in place from a small molecule to the giant conglomerate of stars and stuff without some kind of hand guide.
Well, here's the thing. Okay, and this is what I try to tell the atheists. As you know, I get their rant, I guess. But here's the thing. Imagine all the knowledge. We know some laws, right? And energy is one of those things that cannot be destroyed. You cannot destroy energy. That's one of the laws of thermodynamics. What is it that causes cognitive thought to occur in the human brain? It's electrical impulses. It's a chemical reaction that emits electrical impulses. So you would have to say that knowledge exists in the form of energy. Now imagine, if you will, everything that comprises the entire universe, which we don't even know the boundaries of our universe yet.
Right.
Okay, so imagine all of that condensed into one spot. That's all the knowledge, wisdom, laws, everything, every principle upon which everything exists, all in one entity. What would you call that?
Supreme being.
I would call that God.
Because
that's all wisdom, all knowledge, all knowing. Anything that's known, has ever been known, or ever will be known,
mm-hmm.
possessed all in one entity. That's God.
Yep.
I mean, how else can you describe it? And, you know, the evolutionists, they cannot account for the presence of knowledge and logic and reason. You see, the atheists love to talk about logic and reason. I say, great, that's great. Let's test that theory. Let's take some primordial ooze of some composition that we can't fathom yet. We know that it couldn't happen, spontaneous generation of life. We know that it could not have happened with oxygen present. We know it could not have happened in water. They've ruled those possibilities out. So it would have to practically be in a vacuum. Space is a vacuum. There's a good start. Let's get the first single-celled life. From that, you have the evolution of all living things. Okay? How do you account for the presence of logic or reason? Where did it come from? Logic is not self-creating, or it wouldn't be logic.
Right. Wow.
They can't answer those questions. They don't like to think about them.
And because, well, partly because they're not being able to frame the questions.
When they do stuff, and I can get in the book and show them, look, right here, it tells me that you were going to do that. And that just kind of has to blow their mind because right there, right in the words, it tells you just exactly what you people over there are going to do, and you're doing it. So you tell me,
right. How
does this book tell that you were going to be doing these very things? Because there had to be a higher power there. There had to be logic. There had to be thought, and there had to be guidance.
Intent. You know, something ordered everything in the universe
right. And
used a logical set of rules to accomplish that. You know, all we're doing, all science does, is observe what already exists.
Precisely, and tries to figure it out.
It's kind of like that joke that my pastor told about the scientist that died and went to heaven, and you know, God said, I got to see this guy. You know, there's not too many. We don't get too many of you guys up here. And the scientist told him, he says, well, you know, I don't know why you're still hanging around. We really don't need you, God. And he says, really? He says, oh, yeah, we can do anything that you can do. Not a problem. And God looks at him. He says, you mean to tell me that you can create a living, breathing man from a handful of dirt? And he said, oh, absolutely. We've already done that in the lab. He said, you know, I'd like to see you do that. And he said, no problem. And he reached down and he scooped up a handful of dirt. And God says, well, wait a minute. Get your own dirt.
Yep. I love that one.
Get your own dirt, brother. Don't use what I already put here. Get your own.
There's a brilliant scientist on the Science Channel, Minshew Haku. And in Minshew's words, we have spent hundreds of billions of dollars over the last 60 years trying to prove the Bible wrong. But so far, all we've been able to do is prove it right.
Yep.
Yeah.
But hey, I like watching them try, you know.
Yeah.
Kind of comical.
So we all know every once in a while something happens, and there ain't no other excuse. There ain't no other thing you can attribute it to. It was God. Only God could have done what was done. We've seen
just too many signs and wonders that you know. I mean, even in modern day, people don't recognize it because they expect parting of Red Seas, but, you know, I mean, everybody can tell stories of, you know, when they pray, God answers in certain ways, and people pull through, and we just had a miracle. We got Bill back, and we're grateful for that. You know, I just want to say thanks for doing the show, and you take it real easy. We'll keep the show going, and, you know, you hang in there with us, and God bless this whole Patriot family.
Amen.
God bless you all, and I love you all. I feel no words strong enough to express feel about all of you, all my family and friends, my God, and my country. I just don't think there are any words strong enough to express that feeling. I'm feeling it inside, and the people that are around me, I tell you, they've probably seen me more emotional in the last few days than they've seen me my entire life. But I'm not unhappy.
Good.
I'm not afraid of what's coming, but I want to put up the best damn battle here against the evil that I can before I go.
Amen.
That's what we're all trying to do.
Well, Bill, I think you know that you are loved as well, my friend, and
all of your
family and our Patriot family. Mm-hmm. You know, you guys mean the world to me.
I
am absolutely blessed to have known you guys, plain and simple. And
well, we can
every time we get together, you know, and I really missed this year at Indiana. And you know, I told my wife the first year that we went up there, you guys humble me. I'm absolutely humbled.
We're down-to-earth people. Three things in priority. God comes first. Every other being on the planet comes second. We are third.
Then food.
Food for God bless you all. I want to thank all of you for joining in tonight. Thank Ron and Linda for calling in. I want to thank Lonnie, Jerry, and Joe, and Chad, and James, all the others out there, Mr. Ron, Yola, Linda, and everybody. Like I said, I have no words strong enough to express how I feel. But you've all been the most wonderful blessing to me because for so long I thought I was alone. I thought I was in this battle alone. And it was Patriot families and many of the people there, the things we've been through to get to Patriot families. Let me know that I was not alone, and I attribute that to God showing me you're not alone. And I just have a thought for you. Go out tomorrow, tonight, start whatever. You got somebody out of your past, a friend, your family member on your mind, call them, tell them you love them. Tomorrow you see your friends, your neighbors and stuff, express to them that they mean something to you, that you care about them, you love them. And let's see where we go from there. I want to say
very
God
good
bless. I want to say God bless. And Lonnie Tess, take us out.
All right, man.
Thank you, guys.
God
bless
you all.
Love you.
God bless, guys. Thank you.
Thank you.